And I want to say, folks, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. It should never, ever, ever be like this. This should be a time where we are actually celebrating our salvation, focusing on Jesus, the salvation that we have received from Him, and all that He has actually done for us. Not stressing about what I should be buying for this person and what I should be doing in the shopping center and, you know, preparing this cake and this meal. And folks, what is the joy in all of that? There's something wrong. All about what we should be giving and what we should be getting. We're missing the point. We really are missing the point of what Christmas is all about. So this morning, I want to have a look at quite a few people who were around at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were right there. So we're going to have a look at these people and we're going to see what they actually did. And when you look at it, you'll see that there was a whole lot of worshiping going on. There was a whole lot of exaltation and praising going on at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we had to put a title to this morning's message, it would be, Let's Take Back Christmas as a Time of Worship. Is that a good idea? Let's make that decision to take back Christmas as a time of worship. So the first person I want to have a look at is Joseph. Now let's just see how he responded and let's see how Joseph worshipped the Lord and let's see what we can actually learn from him, because there is a whole lot that we can learn from Joseph. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before there was any intimacy in terms of their relationship, before they came together, she was found to be with child, the Bible says, from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, can you imagine this? Now you find out that this person that you're about to get married to is pregnant. So her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So he was sleeping and this angel appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. So obviously there was prophetic words, and we see that right throughout the Old Testament. Prophetic words that were spoken out, talking about the coming of the soon King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was one of the prophetic words. It says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife, but knew her not. In other words, again, there was no intimacy between him and her. He knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and they called him Jesus. So this is what Joseph is exposed to. And we see here how Joseph actually worshipped. How did Joseph worship? It was through absolute obedience. That's how he worshipped. In actual fact, if you look at verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So he worshipped, and he worshipped right there in obedience to the Lord. To worship the Lord fully, folks, we want to be worshippers of God. We need to make sure that we are obedient to the Lord. It's as simple as that. You know, sometimes it's very, very difficult. Sometimes, you know, the Lord will show us things that we should be doing, and He will speak directly to us in our specific situations, and we find it hard to follow. We find it hard you know, to be obedient. But God works powerfully through obedience. Really, if you haven't experienced God working powerfully through you, one of the first things I would say, just check out how obedient are we, you know, to what the Word of God actually says. Because He works mightily through obedience. So, we've all heard this Christmas story. All of us sitting here today. We've heard this Christmas story and we've heard it many, many times over and over again. And, you know, we're probably sitting here and saying, oh, well, here it goes again. Big deal, I've heard it. You know, I know about Joseph and I know about Mary and I know about all of this stuff. But we need to realize, first of all, that there's a marriage that is about to take place. But this isn't just any marriage. This is a very, very special marriage that is about to take place in this little town in Israel. The woman that you are about to get married to is pregnant. Think about it. Not only pregnant, she's at least 3 months pregnant. And Joseph finds out this just before he's about to get married to her on their wedding day. Can you imagine you, guys, on your wedding day, finding out that this beautiful lady that you're just about to get married to is pregnant, and you know you've got nothing to do with that? Guys, have you thought about this? Look at it from his perspective. No. Yeah. Okay. Process this thing. See what this guy, Joseph, is actually going through. In fact, she'd been away. She was away visiting relatives. If you remember, she went to visit Elizabeth, who was pregnant. She became pregnant in her old age, and she was pregnant, the Bible says, well, we know who it was with John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she's, you know, now Joseph is with Mary, and you know what people start doing? They're looking at the situation like this, and they start going like this. When did you get married? And they start working out, and, hey, okay, I can see. Something's not right here. Can you imagine what this guy went through? Your whole world is rocked, right? Your world is rocked. Your friends and family come to you and say, hey, drop the girl. Dump the girl. Dump her. And he kind of ponders, or you kind of ponder this, and you think, well, actually, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's a good idea, all right? Now, so you agree with your friends and family that you're going to kind of dump her, and now imagine explaining to your friends and family right there that, hey, well, you know what, guys, I was going to dump her, but, you know, I was sleeping the other night, and, you know, God spoke to me in a dream. And he spoke to me in the dream, so I've changed my mind. Can you imagine that? This is what happened. This is what happened. Can you imagine how Satan was actually playing with Joseph's mind right there? He's saying, hey, Joe, are you really going to marry this girl? She's pregnant. And you're not the father. But folks, Joseph believed. Joseph, as he believed that he had heard from the Lord, he obeyed. He responded in a way where he obeyed to God's instructions. And I want to say this is true worship. When we just obey as God speaks to us. He must have said, Lord, I trust you. I really trust you in this. I trust you, Father. I've been seeking you and I believe that you are in this. I don't understand this. God, I don't understand, you know, how I'm standing here. I'm about to get married, and I'm about to get married that, you know, to somebody that is pregnant. I don't understand this. But Lord, I obey. You've spoken to me, and I obey. What's so amazing about this is this guy, Joseph, ultimately became the earthly father of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his obedience. And folks, this is a challenge to all of us. Are we worshiping the Lord through our obedience? Are we obedient to the Lord? Even those difficult things when He actually speaks to us. Are we doing those things that the Lord has instructed us to do? Are we doing those things that the Lord has commanded us to do? You know, there are some things that the Lord calls us to do, like in the case with Joseph over here, that makes absolutely no sense. We can't get our head around it, but we know that God has actually spoken. And this is called putting our trust in Him. This is called exercising faith. When we know God has spoken and we don't fully understand, you know, the whole dimension of the thing that God has actually spoken to us about. So we need to be those people. We need to be a people that actually hear from the Lord and then follow the Lord's leading. Here's a question for us today. Do you want Christmas to be meaningful? Do you want this Christmas to be meaningful? Do you want your life to be meaningful? If we're answering yes to that, folks, then we need to be those who actually obey the Lord when He speaks to us. In other words, when we read the Word of God, we see what God is telling us to do. Obedience is not only in terms of what He's telling us to do. Obedience is also not doing those things that He's told us not to do. That's obedience as well. So if we truly want to have this relationship with the Lord, we need to be those that are obedient, you know, to Him. He has a plan. We need to believe that. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And also, it is by God the Holy Spirit that He's going to guide you and lead you into the plans and purposes that He has for your life. So let's just do what Joseph did, right? He responded to the Lord fully in obedience, right there. In spite of looking at this woman that he was about to marry, and in spite of seeing that she's pregnant, but he heard from the Lord and he responded in obedience. So that's Joseph. That's something we can learn from him. What about Mary? Mary. Do you know that Mary was there as well? Hey, listen, guys. Can we crank up the air conditioners in this place a little bit? Mary was there. Yeah, she was there. And she's the next person that I want to have a look at. Let's have a look and see how Mary worshipped. If you got your Bibles, Luke 1 verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. Now, do you remember, was it about a month ago, I spoke about angels, I spoke about archangels, and remember we said that Gabriel was an archangel. He was one of the archangels, and he was the archangel that was the messenger from God. So here we see it. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, said to Mary. And then he went on to say, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled, the Bible says, at that saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. To his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be? I'm confused. How will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. And again, of course, we know Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now watch Mary's response here. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now, so here we find Mary. How did she worship? Her worship was through absolute submission right there. She submitted right there. She submitted to the will of the Lord right there. You know, you might ask, well, what is the difference between submission and obedience? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay, thank you for asking that question. Let me try to explain it, because they are quite similar in a way, right? They're related, but they're not exactly the same. Obedience, when we talk about obedience, it is an outward action. That's what obedience is. It's an outward action, whereas submission is an inward attitude. That is the difference. So obedience is basically doing what you're told. If somebody tells you to do something and you go and do it, you're being obedient to that person. Just like we saw here with Joseph. Joseph was, he obeyed. He obeyed God right there. Whereas submission is a voluntarily placing oneself, our own will, under the will of somebody else. In other words, it's their will and not our will. That's the difference between obedience and submission. Now, I know you've all heard the story, but it makes sense in terms of the context of what I'm speaking about here this morning, so I'm going to share it anyway. We've all heard about the little boy. Let's call him Johnny. Shame, Johnny always gets the brunt of it. So Johnny is in trouble. Johnny's in trouble with his mother for doing something that is wrong. So she tells Johnny, she says, Johnny, go and sit in the corner. And Johnny had to sit in the corner and he had to look at the wall. And he was upset. Eh? Johnny was really upset about this whole thing. And eventually he turns around and he says to his mom, he says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Okay? We've heard that story before. So Johnny was obedient because he was sitting. He was doing what his mother told him to do. But he was definitely not submissive. He wasn't submissive right there. But we see here that Mary actually worshipped the Lord by submitting her will to the will of the Father. And she was not one that was actually sitting on the outside and standing on the inside, right? She was totally in submission to the will of God right there. You know, I'm the Lord's servant. This is what she said. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Never mind what I think, but may it be as you have said. Folks, the reality of the situation in those times is that Mary, being pregnant in those times, she could have been stoned. Right? Probably, you know, well, another scenario, it could have been that the family of Joseph totally ostracized her. There's a whole lot of things when you look at the culture of those times. But she knew, she had heard from God, she knew what the will of God was, and even if it meant that she would be in a difficult situation or maybe go through some tough circumstances, she chose to do what God had instructed her to do. So she was a worshipper of the Lord, and she worshipped Him by submitting to the will of the Father right there. So that is another way. So we see obedience. So my question to us then today is, are we worshipping the Lord? By submitting. Submitting to His will. Even if we don't want to do it. But His will, we see it in the Word of God, says that we should do this or we shouldn't do that, and we choose to submit to His will. Now, this thing of submission, right, it has a very, very negative connotation. Let me say it, especially when it comes to church. Because the thing of submission has been abused in church. Let me tell you. Right. Straight away we start to think of, you know, when a person submits, we start to think of doormat. We start to think submission, well, the person is weak. Let me say, it's not been a doormat and it's not been been weak if we submit. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Is that true? And Jesus wasn't weak. He wasn't weak at all. My question is, folks, are we submitting to the will of God for our lives? Are you submitting to the will of God for your life? Right? Am I doing the same thing? We see in the Bible, and I want to comment a little bit about this, where it talks about wives. Are you willing to glorify the Lord by submitting to your husband, who is the head of the home? Oh, but Dave, you don't know my husband. Huh? You don't know what my husband is like. Really, you're quite right. You know, I don't know what your husband is like, but I do know the Lord, and I do know that the Lord can work through people that are not perfect. What about husbands? Head of the home, this is what the Bible says. Are you submitting yourself to the Lord's will, right? And then it goes on to say, in loving your wives the way that Christ loved the church. Folks, this is a concern, and I've experienced this quite a few times over the years, where a husband will come into an office, you know, and say to me, listen here, I have a real problem. You know, the Word of God says that wives must submit to their husbands. Well, the Bible says you should. My wife doesn't submit to me. Straight away, I'll say to them, what does the Word of God say? Carry on reading that portion of Scripture. Wives, love your husbands, sorry, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. That's what it says. So the first question is, are you loving your wife the way that Christ loved the church? Well, let me tell you something. You're the head of the home, then that's what you should be doing as you lead this family. Then you'll find it very easy for a woman to actually submit, you know, to the leadership of the husband in the home. Is this true? Folks, it's a problem in the church, and it's something that needs to be addressed. You know, time and time again, as I say, many of us know stories like this. And I believe it's a husband's responsibility to start off by loving his wife the same way that Jesus loved the church. Then it's very easy for anybody to submit to that sort of leadership. Right, anyway, I don't know why I said all of that. Maybe it was for someone. Now, if it was for you, don't start blushing, okay? Okay. Folks, so we need to worship the Lord, all of us, by submitting to Him as well. So we've had a look at Mary, and we've had a look at Joseph. Who else was around at the birth of the Lord? Come on, you. The? Wise men. Three wise men. Somebody said three wise men. Who says there were three wise men? See, show me in the Bible that it says three wise men. You know where that comes from? Because the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So now they assume that there are three. All right, go check it out. Anyway, that's just some. But yeah, you would call them the Magi or the Magi. How would you pronounce it? The Magi. All right, my wife said Magi. So what she says goes. So we're going to call them the Magi. Right, so they were there. And how did the Magi actually worship the Lord? Well, if you've got your Bibles, have a look at Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see how the Magi worshipped. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, how many were there? Funny how we just jump on the thing and say there were three, eh? It says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born, listen to this, king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, it's interesting because remember then they spoke to Herod, right? And Herod got all bent out of shape. Right, and Herod actually freaks out when he hears that there's a king, another king. And he tells the Magi, he says to the Magi, hey, listen, guys, you know, shoot down to wherever it was, Bethlehem. Go down there, just shoot down there. And if you find this king, please come back and tell me. And the reason why I want you to tell me is because I also want to go and worship the king. He wanted to kill Jesus. We know that. Right? So you wanted to kill Jesus. Let's pick it up in verse 9. So after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over a place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So it wasn't just joy, it was great joy, and great joy exceedingly. That's how excited these guys were. And going into the house, they saw a child with Mary's mother. And what did they do? And they fell down and worshipped him. The Magi fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, the Bible says. So here we see the Magi, they actually worshipped. How did they worship? Through sacrifice. They worshipped through sacrifice right there. They sacrificed a whole lot to be there so that they were able to worship the Lord right there. And in actual fact, when you read this, they sacrificed in two ways. The first way that they sacrificed was with their time. They reckon that journey from where the Magi were to where the Lord Jesus Christ probably took about 8 weeks by camel. 8 weeks. 2 months, roughly 2 months. Folks, let me tell you, riding a camel to go and worship Jesus for 2 months, right, was a bit anal, I could imagine. I'm sure they're not very comfortable. I've never ridden a camel. I don't know. Today we find people, they make a huge sacrifice. Oh, brother, I'm going to Cape Town, but I'm really bent out of shape. I'm driving to Cape Town in this air-conditioned car instead of going by airplane. True? Yeah, that's a huge sacrifice, big sacrifice. These guys, like I said, they spent a couple of months on these camels. Why? So that they could come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords so that they could worship Him, the Bible says. So we see here that they worshipped Him. The first way they worshipped Him was they sacrificed, and they sacrificed their time. Are we worshiping the Lord with our time? Now, I'm going to say something here, and I know it's not this church. All right. But folks, people get out of bed on a Sunday morning. Darling, I don't think I'm going to church today. Not you guys. You guys are wonderful. I don't feel like going to church today. Yeah, should we just... let's watch TBN. And we try to justify it. Folks, the reason why we gather together is to actually exalt and to glorify and to worship our Creator. This thing of, all right, should we go, darling? Should we go to church? We don't have a choice. Imagine you guys arriving here and Christian and I, well, okay. Oh, I don't think we'll go to church. All right. So, folks, we need to be committed to this. The reason why we gather together is to worship Him. That's the reason why we do it. The Bible says we must do it. We do it together, and the Bible says we also do it. We worship Him by ourselves as well. So that was one way, right? Well, let me ask a question first of all. Are we doing this? Are we worshiping the Lord through sacrifice? Because it is part of worship. Put on the... How does that scripture go? The garment of praise for the sacrifice. The Bible talks about sacrifice of praise. I don't know the scripture offhand. All right. With praise, even praising Him is a sacrifice. But there's another way that these guys actually sacrificed as well. And they also worshipped Him through the sacrificing of their treasure. Listen to this. Matthew 2 verse 11. It says, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Folks, I want to say, just like us, like you and me, they could have used their treasure for a whole lot of other things. Right? Like us, treasure for a whole lot of other things. But they chose to use their treasure to worship Him. And let me say that there's no better way of us, using our treasure than to actually worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because when we let's start off with our tithes and offerings, folks, the objective of all of this, obviously, is to train up the saints and to disciple people. But I believe that we are training up people here that when you have an opportunity, you will share the word of God with somebody, ensuring that people are snatched out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light. And that's a responsibility of each and every one of us. All of us. So, we need to make sure that we are doing that. So the question again is, are we committed to doing this? Where we actually glorify the Lord with our treasure? Think about that. So anyway, just to wrap it all up in conclusion. Are we worshiping the Lord fully? That's the first question we must ask ourselves. Are we worshiping the Lord continually, fully? One of the things that we need to make sure is that, well, let's just say this. First of all, the purpose of Christmas is to be able to exalt Him, to glorify Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, and also to give Him thanks for the amazing things that He has done in our lives. That is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we need to make sure that we do everything we can to escape what the world calls Christmas and what actually goes, you know, into all of this. The trap. And there's a lot of traps there. There's a lot of traps of stress. There's a lot of traps where people will get themselves into financial difficulties because of all the money that's going around and all the spending that takes place and all the expenses that take place. So we need to watch this. Let's just make sure that we don't overdo it on the expenses. I'm not saying, you know, don't buy people presents and whatever. But let's keep the main thing the main thing and make sure that there's no stress in all of this. This is not how it should be. We need to make sure that we are a people as believers in Jesus, that we keep the Christ in Christmas. We spell Christmas C-H-R-I-S-T, mass, M-A-S. And I'm sure there's nothing that irritates you more than you, when you walk in a shopping center like Eastgate and they take the Christ out of Christmas and they put an X. Happy Xmas. Folks, this is the world trying to do this. Happy Xmas. So we worship Him by living obediently, and we saw that with Joseph. We worship Him also by submitting our will to Him. We saw that with Mary. We worship Him by sacrificing, where we sacrifice our time and we sacrifice our resources. We saw that with the Magi. And folks, we just worship Him because of all the things that He has done for us. He is worthy, so worthy of your worship and my worship. Amen. Let's change. We still got how many days to Christmas? That many. Let's make sure that we don't get stressed out. Let's make sure that we are not putting ourselves into financial kind of bondage and so on. Amen? Let's put Christ back in Christmas. Enjoy it with family, friends, and so on.